In the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verses 56 and 57 of Srimad Bhagavatam, a faltering voice due to jubilation was exhibited by Akura when he was shown all of the Vaikuntha planets resting within the river Yamuna. When Akura understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he bowed his head to Krishna's lotus feet and with folded hands began to pray in a faltering voice. There are also examples of faltering of the voice caused by fearfulness. One of Krishna's friends praised him thus, quote, "My dear friend, your flute was given to your servant Patri, and when I asked him to return it, he began speaking in a faltering voice, and his complexion became yellow." Unquote. Trembling. When Krishna was trying to capture the demon Shankha, Radharani began trembling out of fearfulness. Similar trembling of the body was exhibited in Sahadeva, the younger brother of Nakula. When Shishupal was vehemently blaspheming the Lord, Sahadeva began to tremble out of anger. Trembling of the body was also exhibited by Radharani out of tribulation. Radharani trembled as she told one of the gopis, quote, "Don't joke with this disappointing boy. Please ask him not to approach me because he is always the cause of all grief for us." Unquote. Changing of bodily color. Sometimes, due to great aggrievement caused by the dealings of Krishna, the body changes color. The gopis therefore addressed the Lord thus, quote, "Dear Krishna, due to separation from you, all the denizens of Vrindavan have changed their color. And because of this change of color, even the great sage Narad was thinking of Vrindavan as a white island in the ocean of milk." Unquote. When Krishna and Balaram were present in the arena of Kamsa, Kamsa's body changed color. Similarly, Indra's face changed color when he saw that Krishna was protecting all the denizens of Vraja by lifting Govardhan Hill. If the color change takes place due to excessive jubilation, the hue turns red. Because such a change of color is so rare, Srila Rupa Goswami does not further discuss this point. Tears. Out of jubilation, anger, or separation, there may be the pouring down of tears from the eyes. When such tears are very cold, they are due to jubilation, and when they are due to anger, the tears become hot. In all cases, there is a severe movement of the eyes, and the eyes generally become reddish. There is also an itching sensation which causes the sufferer to rub his eyes. When the lotus-eyed Rukmini, the first queen of Krishna in Dwarka, was shedding tears out of ecstatic jubilation, she did not like the tears. There is a passage in the Hari Vamsha where Satyabhama begins to shed tears because of her great affection for Krishna. An example of shedding tears because of anger was exhibited by Bhima when he saw that Shishupal was insulting Krishna in the Rajasuya arena of sacrifice. Bhima wanted to kill Shishupal immediately, but because Krishna did not order him to do so, he became morose with anger. It is described that there were hot tears covering his eyes, as a thin cloud sometimes covers the evening moon. In the evening, when the moon is slightly covered by a thin cloud, it looks very nice, and when Bhima was shedding tears on account of his anger, he also looked very nice. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 60th chapter, verse 23, there is a nice example of Rukmini's shedding tears of lamentation. When Krishna and Rukmini were talking, Rukmini became frightened of separation from Krishna and therefore she began scratching the earth with her red lotus-like nails. Because she was shedding tears, the black ointment from her eyes was dripping, along with the tears, onto her breasts, which were covered with kumkum powder. Rukmini was so aggrieved that her voice was choked up. Devastation. When a person is confused by simultaneous happiness and tribulation and does not know what to do, this state of confusion is called pralaya, or devastation. In this condition of pralaya, one sometimes falls down on the ground, and all the symptoms of ecstatic love become manifest. When the gopis were searching after Krishna, and all of a sudden he came out from the bushes and creepers, all of them became stunned and almost senseless. In this state, the gopis appeared very beautiful. This is an example of pralaya, or devastation in happiness. There are also instances of pralaya in distress. One such example is described in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukdev Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, when the gopis were missing Krishna, they were so much absorbed in meditation upon him that all of their senses stopped functioning and they lost all bodily sense. It was as though they had become liberated from all material conditions." Unquote. Degrees of ecstatic symptoms. Out of the many ecstatic symptoms of the body, the symptom of being stunned is especially significant. According to the degree of being stunned, the vital force within the body becomes agitated, and due to such a state, the other ecstatic loving symptoms sometimes become altered. These transcendental ecstatic symptoms gradually develop, and in the course of such development, they are sometimes called smoky, sometimes called blazing, and sometimes called shining. These three degrees are experienced for many, many years, and they extend to different parts of the body. Unlike the shedding of tears and faltering of the voice, the condition of being stunned is spread all over the body. The shedding of tears and faltering of the voice are simply localized symptoms. The shedding of tears, however, sometimes makes the eyes become swollen and whitish, and sometimes the lenses of the eyes become differently focused. Faltering of the voice may sometimes cause choking in the throat and extreme anxiety. As the different symptoms of these ecstatic manifestations are localized, they are accompanied by different local reactions. Example: when the throat is choked up because of a faltering voice, there may be a sound like gura. Such sounds choke the voice, and with extreme mental anxiety, they may be manifest in different ways. All these symptoms are listed under the dried up existential condition known as smoky, and they are exhibited in different ways. Sometimes, while participating in ceremonies, celebrating Krishna's pastimes, or in the society of devotees, there is dancing ecstasy. Such sentiments are called blazing. None of the above symptoms can be manifested without the basic principle of strong attachment for Krishna. In the smoky condition of such ecstatic expressions, the symptoms could otherwise be hidden. This type of symptom was experienced by priest Gargamuni, who was performing some ritualistic ceremony in the house of Nanda Maharaj. When he heard about Krishna's killing of the Agasura demon, there were some tears visible in his eyes, his throat was trembling, and perspiration covered his whole body. In this way, priest Gargamuni's beautiful face assumed a nice condition. When several such ecstatic symptoms are visible, the condition is called blazing. For example, one of Krishna's friends told him, quote, "My dear friend, as soon as I heard the sound of your flute from within the forest, my hands became almost motionless, and my eyes became full of tears, so much so, in fact, that I could not recognize your peacock feather. My thighs became almost completely stunned, so that I could not move even an inch. Therefore, my dear friend, I must acknowledge the wonderful vibration of your transcendental flute." Unquote. Similarly, one gopi said to another, quote, "My dear friend, when I heard the sound of Krishna's flute, I tried to hide myself from the reaction of the vibrations. But still I could not check the trembling of my body, and therefore all of my friends in the house could detect my attachment for Krishna without any doubt." Unquote. When the ecstatic symptoms cannot be checked, and they simultaneously appear in four or five different categories, this stage of ecstatic love is called shining. The example is cited in this connection that when the sage Narad saw Lord Krishna standing before him, his body became so stunned that he stopped playing on his veena. Because of his faltering voice, he could not offer any prayers to Krishna, and his eyes filled with tears. Thus, Narada's ability to see Krishna was also obstructed. When similar symptoms were manifest in the body of Srimati Radharani, some of her friends criticized her. Quote, "Dear friend, you are blaming the aroma of the flowers for the tears in your eyes. You are rebuking the air for the standing of the hairs on your body. And you are cursing your walking in the forest for your thighs being stunned. But your faltering voice reveals the cause to be different. It is just your attachment for Krishna." Unquote. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks that when various symptoms become manifest very prominently, the devotee's condition may be called the brightest. For example, a friend of Krishna addressed him as follows, quote, "My dear Pitambara, because of separation from you, all the residents of Goloka Vrindavan are perspiring. They are lamenting with different words, and their eyes have become moistened with tears. Actually, all of them are in great confusion." Unquote. There is a supreme symptom of ecstatic love which is called Mahabhava. This Mahabhava expression was possible only in Radharani, but later on, when Sri Krishna Chaitanya appeared to feel the mode of love of Radharani, he also expressed all of the symptoms of Mahabhava. Sri Rupa Goswami says in this connection that when the symptoms of ecstatic love become the most bright, that stage is accepted as Mahabhava. Srila Rupa Goswami further analyzes the ecstatic loving expression into four divisions, which are called Sattvika Bhasa. Sometimes impersonalists, who are not actually in devotional service, may also exhibit such symptoms of ecstatic love, but this is not accepted as actual ecstasy. It is a reflection only. For example, sometimes in Varanasi, a holy city for impersonalist scholars, there may be seen a sannyasi crying from hearing the glories of the Lord. Impersonalists also sometimes chant the Hare Krishna mantra and dance, but their aim is not to serve the Lord. It is to become one with the Lord and merge into His existence. Rupa Goswami therefore says that even if the reactions to chanting are manifested in the impersonalist's body, they should not be considered to be symptoms of actual attachment, but reflections only, just like the sun reflected in a dark room through some polished glass. The chanting of Hare Krishna, however, is so nice and transcendental that it will eventually melt even the hearts of persons who are impersonalists. Rupa Goswami says that the impersonalist symptoms are simply reflections of ecstatic love, not the real thing. Sometimes it is found that when staunch logicians, without any trace of devotional service, and without actually understanding the transcendental glories of the Lord, sit down to hear the glories of the Lord, they appear to be melting and shedding tears. In this connection, there is a statement by a devotee who addresses the Lord thus, quote, "My dear Mukunda, I cannot properly express the glories of your pastimes. Even when the non-devotees hear of your glorious pastimes, they become affected and shed tears and start to tremble." Unquote. Such non-devotees are not actually melted. They are hard-hearted. But the influence of the glories of the Lord is so great that even the non-devotees sometimes shed tears. Sometimes it is found that a non-devotee who has practically no taste for Krishna and who follows no rules or regulations can, by practice, make a show of devotional symptoms, even crying in an assembly of devotees. This shedding of tears is not actually an ecstatic loving expression, however. It is done simply by practice. Although there is no need to describe these reflections of ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami gives some instances where there is no actual devotional service, and such expressions are manifested. And now chapter 29, Expressions of Love for Krishna. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane manam saranyakaranam. There are some bodily symptoms which express overwhelming ecstatic love, the abhichari bhava. They are counted at 33 as follows: disappointment, lamentation, humility, guilt, fatigue, intoxication, pride, doubt, apprehension, intense emotion, madness, forgetfulness, disease, confusion, death, laziness, inertness, bashfulness, concealment, remembrance, argumentativeness, anxiety, thoughtfulness, endurance, happiness, eagerness, violence, haughtiness, envy, impudence, dizziness, sleepiness, and alertness. Disappointment. When one is forced to act in a way which is forbidden, or to refrain from acting in a way which is proper, he becomes regretful and thinks himself dishonored. At that time, there is a sense of disappointment. In this kind of disappointment, one becomes full of anxiety, sheds tears, changes bodily color, feels humility, and breathes heavily. When Krishna, in punishing the Kaliya serpent, appeared to have drowned himself in the poisonous water of the Yamuna, Nanda Maharaj addressed Yashoda Devi thus, quote, "My dear wife, Krishna has gone deep into the water, and so there is no longer any need to maintain our bodies, which are so full of sinful activities. Let us also enter into the poisonous water of the Yamuna and compensate for the sinful activities of our lives." Unquote. This is an instance of severe shock wherein the devotee becomes greatly disappointed. When Krishna left Vrindavan, Subala, his intimate friend, decided to leave also. While leaving, Subala was contemplating that without Krishna, there was no longer any pleasure to be found in Vrindavan. The analogy is given that as the bees go away from a flower that has no honey, Subala left Vrindavan when he found that there was no longer any relishable transcendental pleasure there. In Dana Keli Komudi, Srimati Radharani addresses one of her friends in this manner, quote, "My dear friend, if I cannot hear of the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to become deaf. And because I am now unable to see him, it would be good for me to be a blind woman." Unquote. This is another instance of disappointment due to separation from Krishna. There is a statement in the Hari Vamsha wherein Satyabhama, one of the queens of Krishna in Dwarka, tells her husband, quote, "My dear Krishna, since I heard Narad glorifying Rukmini before you, I can understand that there is no need of any talking about myself." Unquote. This is an instance of disappointment caused by envy. Rukmini and Satyabhama were co-wives, and because Krishna was husband of both, there naturally was some feminine envy between them. So when Satyabhama heard the glories of Rukmini, she was envious of her and thus became disappointed. In the 10th canto, 51st chapter, verse 47 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this statement, quote, "My dear Krishna, I cannot say that it is only other people who are implicated in material existence, because I too am much entangled with the bodily concept of life. I am always too anxious about my family, home, wife, wealth, land, and kingdom. And because I have been so maddened by this material atmosphere, I am thinking now that my life has been simply spoiled." Unquote. This statement is an instance of disappointment caused by lamentation. According to Bharat Muni, this disappointment is inauspicious. But there are other learned scholars who have accepted such disappointment as being in the mood of neutrality and as being a preservative of ecstatic love. Lamentation. When one is unsuccessful in achieving his desired goal of life, when one finds no fulfillment in his present occupation, when one finds himself in reversed conditions, and when one feels guilt, at such a time one is said to be in a state of lamentation. In this condition of lamentation, one becomes questioning, thoughtful, tearful, regretful, and heavy-breathed. His bodily color changes, and his mouth becomes dry. One aged devotee of Krishna addressed him in this way, quote, "My dear Krishna, O killer of the demon Aga, my body is now invalid due to old age. I cannot speak very fluently. My voice is faltering, my mind is not strong, and I am often attacked by forgetfulness. But, my dear Lord, you are just like the moonlight, and my only real regret is that for want of any taste for your pleasant shining, I did not advance myself in Krishna consciousness." Unquote. This statement is an instance of lamentation due to one's being unable to achieve his desired goal. One devotee said, quote, "This night I was dreaming of collecting various flowers from the garden, and I was thinking of making a garland to offer to Krishna. But I am so unfortunate that all of a sudden my dream was over, and I could not achieve my desired goal." Unquote. This statement is an instance of lamentation resulting from non-fulfillment of one's duties. When Nanda Maharaj saw his foster son Krishna embarrassed in the sacrificial arena of Kamsa, he said, quote, "How unfortunate I am that I did not keep my son bolted within a room. Unfortunately, I have brought him to Mathura, and now I see that he is embarrassed by this giant elephant named Kuvalaya. It is as though the moon of Krishna were eclipsed by the shadow of the earth." Unquote. This is an instance of lamentation caused by reversed conditions. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement by Brahma, quote, "My dear Lord, just see my impudence. You are the unlimited, the original personality of Godhead, the super soul, and you rule over the most perfect illusory energies. And just see my impudence. I wanted to supersede you by my own personal power, and I was very puffed up with this tiny power of mine. Just as a simple spark from a fire cannot do any harm to the fire, so my bewildering potency was completely unsuccessful in thwarting your superior illusory power. Therefore, I find myself to be most insignificant and think of myself as a most useless person." Unquote. This statement by Brahma is an instance of lamentation caused by committing an offense. Humility. A sense of weakness caused by distress, fear, or offensiveness is called humility. In such a humble condition, one becomes talkative, small in heart, dirty in mind, full of anxiety, and inactive. In the 10th canto, 51st chapter, verse 57 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by King Muchukunda, quote, "My dear Lord, because of my bad deeds in the past, I am everlastingly aggrieved. I am always suffering from my desires, but still, my senses are never satisfied with material enjoyments. Somehow or other, by your grace, I am now in a peaceful condition because I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, which are always free from all lamentation, fear, and death. O Supreme Protector, O Supreme Soul, O Supreme Controller, kindly give me your protection. I am so much embarrassed." Unquote. This statement by Muchukunda is an instance of humility resulting from a severely miserable condition of material existence. When Uttara was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama, she became afraid of losing her child, Maharaj Pariksit, who was still within the womb. She immediately surrendered to Krishna and said, quote, "My dear Lord, kindly save my child. I do not mind if I myself must be killed by the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama." Unquote. This is an instance of humility caused by fear. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, quote, "O infallible one, I am born in the mode of passion, and therefore I have been falsely proud of being the creator of this material world. My false pride was just like dense darkness, and in this darkness I had become blind. In my blindness, I was considering myself a competitor to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, my dear Lord, even though I am accepted as the creator of this universe, I am eternally your servant. Therefore, kindly always be compassionate toward me and excuse me in that way." Unquote. "I am eternally your servant. Therefore, kindly always be compassionate toward me and excuse me in that way." Unquote. This statement by Brahma is another instance of humility resulting from committing an offense. Sometimes there is humility due to shyness. For example, when Krishna stole all of the garments from the gopis while they were bathing in the river, all of them begged Krishna not to commit this injustice upon them. The gopis addressed him thus, quote, "Dear Krishna, We know that you are the son of Nanda Maharaj, and that you are the most beloved of all Vrindavan. And you are very much loved by us also. But why are you giving us this trouble? Kindly return our garments. Just see how we are trembling from the severe cold." Unquote. This humility was due to their shyness from being naked before Krishna. Guilt. When a person blames himself for committing an inappropriate action, his feeling is called guilt. One day, Srimati Radharani was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, the jeweled bangles on her hands were circling around, and she was also chanting the holy name of Krishna. All of a sudden, she thought, quote, "I am chanting the holy name of Krishna, and my superiors, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, may hear me." Unquote. By this thought, Radharani became over-anxious. This is an instance of feeling guilty because of devotion to Krishna. One day, the beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani entered into the forest to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting the flowers, she became afraid that someone might see her, and she felt some fatigue and weakness. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by labor for Krishna. There is a statement in Rasa Sudhakara that after passing the night with Krishna, Radharani became so weak that she was unable to get up from bed. When Krishna took her hand to help her, Radharani felt guilty about having passed the night with him. Fatigue. One feels fatigue after walking a long distance, after dancing, and after sexual activity. In this kind of fatigue, there is dizziness, perspiration, inactivity of the limbs, yawning, and very heavy breathing. One day Yashoda was chasing Krishna in the yard after he had offended her. After a while, Yashoda became very fatigued, and therefore she was perspiring, and her bunched hair became loosened. This is an instance of becoming fatigued because of working too much. Sometimes, all of the cowherd friends of Krishna, along with Balaram, dance together in some ceremony. At these times, the garlands on their necks would move, and the boys would begin to perspire. Their whole bodies became wet from their ecstatic dancing. This is an instance of fatigue caused by dancing. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 20, it is said that after enjoying love affairs with Krishna by dancing, embracing, and kissing, the gopis would sometimes become very tired, and Krishna, out of his causeless mercy and compassion, would smear their faces with his lotus hands. This is an example of fatigue caused by laboring in the Ras dance. Intoxication. When one becomes arrogant with false prestige due to drinking intoxicants or being too lustful, the voice becomes faulty, the eyes become swollen, and there are symptoms of redness on the body. There is a statement in the Lalita Madhava that Lord Baladev, intoxicated from drinking excessive quantities of honey, once began to address the ants. Quote, "O you kings of the ants, why are you hiding yourselves in these holes?" Unquote. At the same time, he also addressed the King of Heaven. Quote, "O King Indra, you plaything of Shachi, why are you laughing? I am now prepared to smash the whole universe, and I know that Krishna will not be angry with me." Unquote. Baladev or Balaram is the older brother of Krishna. He is an expansion of the Godhead himself, and therefore to be considered an incarnation of God, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he addressed Krishna, quote, "My dear Krishna, tell me immediately why the whole world is trembling and why the moon has become elongated. And O you members of the Yadu dynasty, why are you laughing at me? Please give me back my liquors made of honey from the Kadamba flower." Unquote. Srila Rupa Goswami prays that Lord Balaram will be pleased with all of us while he is thus talking just like an intoxicated person. In this state of intoxication, Balaram felt tired and lay down for rest. Generally, those who are exalted personalities lie down when they feel intoxicated, whereas those who are mediocre laugh and sing during intoxication. And those who are lowly use vulgar language and sometimes cry. Such intoxication is manifested according to different ages and mentalities. Srila Rupa Goswami does not describe further in this direction because there is no necessity for such a discussion. There is another description of the symptoms of intoxication in the person of Sri Radharani after she saw Krishna. Sometimes she was walking hither and thither. Sometimes she was laughing. Sometimes she was covering her face. Sometimes she was talking without any meaning. And sometimes she was praying to her associate gopis. Seeing these symptoms in Radharani, the gopis began to talk among themselves. Quote, "Just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her." Unquote. This is an instance of ecstatic love in intoxication. Pride. Expressions of ecstatic love and pride may be the result of excessive wealth, exquisite beauty, a first-class residence, or the attainment of one's ideal goal. One is also considered proud when he does not care about the neglect of others. Bilva Mangal Thakur said, quote, "My dear Krishna, you are leaving me, forcibly getting out of my clutches. But I shall be impressed by your strength only when you can go forcibly from the core of my heart." Unquote. This is an instance of feeling pride in ecstatic love for Krishna. Once during the Ras dance, when Radharani left the arena and Krishna went to seek her out, one of the dear friends of Radharani addressed Krishna thus, quote, "My dear Krishna, you have been very much obliging in serving the form of our Sri Radharani, and now you have left all the other gopis to search for her. Please allow me to inquire how you want her to treat you." Unquote. This is an instance of feeling pride on account of exquisite beauty. Sometimes Radharani felt pride within herself and said, quote, "Although the cowherd boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart." Unquote. Similarly, in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, quote, "My dear Madhusudana, persons who are pure devotees of your lordship actually feel your ecstatic friendship, and as such, they are never vanquished by enemies. They know they are always protected by you, and so they can matter-of-factly pass over the heads of their enemies without any care." Unquote. In other words, one who has taken complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord is always proud of being able to conquer all enemies. One weaver at Mathura addressed Krishna in this way, quote, "My dear King of Vrindavan, I have become so proud of your causeless mercy upon me that I do not even count upon the mercy of the Lord of Vaikuntha, which is sought after by many great sages in deep meditation." Unquote. In other words, although the yogis and great sages sit in meditation upon Lord Vishnu, who is residing in Vaikuntha, A devotee of Krishna is so proud that he does not consider such meditation to be very valuable. This feeling of pride is due to one's having achieved the highest goal of life, Krishna. Doubt. After Lord Brahma had stolen all of the calves, cows, and cowherd boys from Krishna, he was trying to go away. But all of a sudden, he became doubtful about his stealing affairs and began to watch on all sides with his eight eyes. Lord Brahma has four heads, and therefore he has eight eyes. This is an instance of ecstatic love in doubt caused by stealing. Similarly, just to please Krishna, Akrura stole the Syamantaka money, a stone which can produce unlimited quantities of gold, but later on he repented his stealing. This is another instance of ecstatic love for Krishna in doubt caused by stealing. When the king of heaven, Indra, was causing torrents of rain to fall on the land of Vraja, he was advised to surrender himself at the lotus feet of Krishna. At that time, Indra's face became very dark because of doubt. Apprehension. When a person becomes disturbed in his heart by seeing lightning in the sky, by seeing a ferocious animal, or by hearing a tumultuous sound, his state of mind is called apprehensive. In such a state of apprehension, one tries to take shelter of something which provides safety. There may be standing of the hairs on the body, trembling of the body, and sometimes the committing of mistakes. And sometimes the body may become stunned. In the Padyavali, there is the following statement, quote, "My dear friend, Krishna's residence in the demoniac circle at Mathura, under the supremacy of the king of demons, Kamsa, is causing me much worry." Unquote. This is one instance of apprehending some danger to Krishna in ecstatic love for him. When Vrishasura appeared in Vrindavan as a bull, all of the gopis became greatly affected with fear. Being perturbed in that way, they began to embrace the tamal trees. This is an instance of fear caused by a ferocious animal and of the search for shelter while remembering Krishna in ecstatic love. Upon hearing the jackals crying in the forest of Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda sometimes became very careful about keeping Krishna under her vigilance, fearing that Krishna might be attacked by them. This is an instance of ecstatic love for Krishna in fear caused by a tumultuous sound. This kind of fear is a little different from being actually afraid. When one is afraid of something, he can still think of past and future. But when there is this kind of ecstatic apprehension, there is no scope for such thinking. ¶¶